Chapter 4, Working with God. The habits we have looked at up until this point, living life close to God and recognizing and leaving sin, are both very inward habits. They have to do mainly with who we are and how we relate to God. The last two habits we will look at are both outward-focused habits. They have to do mainly with how we relate to others. In spite of being outward-focused habits, they are two vital disciplines that lead us to become more and more like Jesus. The first outward-focused habit is that of working with God. Maybe you have never thought much about the possibility that you could work with God, or maybe you have spent a lot of time working alongside God. The reality is that God calls His children to work with Him. When we work with our Father, we become more like Christ. Attend and receive. It is easy to think that life as a follower of Jesus is a life of attending and receiving. It is thinking that the most important activity in the life of a child of God is to attend services, meetings, studies, and events that the church puts on. It is expecting that the greatest purpose that God's child has is to receive from God and from these events. We do attend. A big part of being a child of God is spending time with other children of God. We will see the purpose of this in the next chapter. In the meantime, we can say that attending different meetings and services is such a big part of the life of God's child that it becomes easy to think that the most important thing that you can do in your Christian life is to attend these different events. We receive a lot from God. We can start to think that the Christian life has to do with receiving from God. We think this for a very good reason. We do receive a lot from God. Because we are His daughters and sons and part of His family, the church, God does give us a lot. Some of the things that God promises His children are salvation from an eternity of punishment, forgiveness for our sins, peace in this life and peace with Him, adoption into His family as children, help with the problems of this life, His Spirit inside of us. It is very true, when you get close to God, you receive from God. He doesn't promise that you will never have problems or that He will give you everything you ask, but God does give very much to His children. We think of the church as a place where we receive. When we start to look at the Christian life as a life of attending and receiving, the logical result is that we start to expect that the church is the place in the organization that exists to give us what we need spiritually. It is thinking that the church exists principally to be a place where we receive. We expect that the services minister to us, the leaders help us, the members support us, our friends give us advice. We attend and receive. We start to see the church as a place that is for me and exists to give me what I need in the style I like. When we don't receive what we need or want in the way or the style that we like, we end up going to another church where we are better served, or we start to criticize the church where we are. You don't have to be around church for very long before you realize that there are many Christians that are dedicated to criticizing and demanding. This is because they have come to see the church as an organization that merely exists to please them, satisfy them, and give them what they want. Something more. Inside, we know that being God's child and part of His family, the church, means more than merely attending and receiving. There has to be more to it than just being in a place that is comfortable for us. It can't just be a life of going to more meetings and services, looking for purpose. In large part, we feel this because we all look for purpose in our lives. When we decide to become children of God, something inside us tells us that being God's son or daughter has to connect our little tiny life with an enormous meaningful purpose. We know that we aren't fulfilling this huge purpose when we reduce the Christian life to a life of attending and receiving. God made us for a great purpose, and His desire is that every one of His children live a life full of purpose. Big idea. God saved you to work with Him. God saved us in order to give us a new purpose. You could say that God's son or daughter has, along with his salvation, a new purpose that should be the most important thing in his life. It is the new purpose of working with God. He saves us by grace. Our tendency is to think and feel that we have to do good things in order to give back to God for our salvation. This is not true. It is incredibly important to emphasize that this habit of working with God isn't in order to pay Him for our salvation, nor is it to earn our forgiveness, nor is it to deserve His love. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This clearly says that God saves his children by his grace, by his goodness, by his mercy. It isn't because of what we do or what we will do. Our salvation is a gift from God, so working with him isn't related to earning our salvation. He saves us to work. In this same passage in the Bible, God says that one of his huge purposes in saving us was so that we would work with him. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What this says is that God made us his children so that we could work with him. One of the purposes of our salvation is so that we would work with our Father. This verse says that the work he has for each of his children is something he prepared especially for each one beforehand. What God wants in the world. In order to understand the meaning of the work that God has for each of his children, we have to start by looking at the huge purpose that God has in the world. God wants glory. God wants to receive glory from his creation. The reason he made us, the reason this planet exists, the reason you are alive, is because God wants to receive glory. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. Isaiah 48:11. For my own sake, for my own sake, I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Glory is when we see God for how huge, good, powerful, and sovereign he is. Normally, people like you and I don't see God for how good and how powerful he really is. Since Adam and Eve, people have seen creation as being the biggest and most important thing. That is why Adam and Eve chose to eat the fruit over obeying God. This is why we see many other things like sports, money, pleasure, entertainment, and family, among others, as more important than God. We each put one or more of these things at the center of our lives, and in this way we make them bigger than God to us. One of the ways that God helps us to see him for how enormous and totally good he is by demonstrating his love by forgiving our sins. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Every time God forgives someone, every time a person decides to enter into peace with God, God is seen as really powerful and really good because he forgave someone who had lived a life in rebellion against him. The only appropriate reaction when someone is converted is, God is extremely powerful and really, really good. This is why God desires that everyone experiences salvation, because through saving people, he reveals to everyone how good and how big he is. So one of his purposes in this world is to save many people. 1 Timothy 2:4, God, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants to save many people like you and I so that his great love and mercy are seen and recognized by everyone on earth. Jesus' purpose. Jesus, the Son of God, came to live as a man in this world with the same purpose that his Father has. He came to this world with the purpose of making a way back to God for men and women who had rebelled against God. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. During his life, he didn't just say that he was going to find and save people who were far from his Father, but that he was going to bring them together into his family, his church. Matthew 16:18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus came into this world, started the work that even today is known as his church, and died innocently on the cross. He did all for the purpose of saving people that lived far away from his father. Following Jesus means working with him. Now, even though the meaning of being a Christian in our day has more to do with attending and receiving, it wasn't always that way. Rather, Jesus' call to his followers wasn't attend and receive, but follow me and work with me. This was the original call that Jesus made when he called his first followers, Mark 1:16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. This wasn't just his call to them, it remains his call to everyone who wants to follow him. At the end of his time on earth, just before ascending to heaven after his resurrection, he told his followers to go and make other followers from all the peoples in all the nations. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Part of his definition of someone who would be his disciple or follower was to obey everything I have commanded you. The main thing that Jesus had taught his followers during his time with them was this idea of following him. So here he is telling them, go and help find other people to follow me, followers that will obey me in everything, including working with me like you have learned to do. To work with God means to help others know God. If you are a child of God, then the work that your Father has given you to do is to help others get to where you are. It is helping the people in your life, people in your family that work with you, that go to school with you, that play with you on your sports teams. In other words, your friends and family to become children of God. The work is to help them be saved, to make their decision to follow God, to be baptized and enter into the family of God and grow as children of God. Our motivation. What motivates our work with God is the constant reality that many of the people that surround us are far from God. We know their sin or rebellion against God separates them from God and destines them to an eternity of punishment far from God. Our message. In the middle of this world, God has given us the message that His Son Jesus offers everyone a path to be able to be at peace with God. When we think of the people around us that don't have peace with God, we know that they will only receive forgiveness and peace with God if they make a decision to enter into peace with God. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." How we work with Jesus. There are three main ways that we work with Jesus. One, we share genuine friendships with a purpose, with people who are far from God. We work with the people that God has put into our lives. You aren't where you are today by accident. God has put you on purpose in the job where you are, in the house or apartment where you live, in the family that you were born into, and on the sports teams you play with. He has surrounded you with other people in these environments on purpose. The purpose is that He wants you to help these people find peace with God. The main way that we bring peace with God to the people who are around us is by sharing genuine friendship, but friendship with a purpose, with every person that God puts in our path. God's children should be the friendliest people on earth. The friendship that we share with others isn't a fake friendship just to get them baptized, but rather a sincerely genuine friendship. We don't have friendships with people who aren't Christians just to get them to make a decision and enter into peace with God. At the same time, we have a great burden for their soul and their relationship with God. So our friendship is genuine, but we also have a purpose in our friendship. We want to see them enter into peace with God. We work with Jesus when we spend time with people who don't have peace with God, when we share our lives and form genuine friendships with them, when we are always praying for our friends that aren't God's children, and when we look for opportunities to share a study with them that explains how to have peace with God, like, I want peace with God. Two, we guide others who are maturing in their relationship with God. We also work with people who have already made their decision to enter into peace with God. The reason that this is important is because the Bible describes the life of a follower of Jesus as a life of constant progress and continual changes. When Jesus chose 12 men and spent his 3 years of ministry working with them, helping them to mature, he left us with a model of how his followers should work with those who have decided to follow him together with us. We work with Jesus when we spend time with other people who are sons and daughters of God in order to help them know God better, leave sin in their lives, and live like Jesus lived. For this reason, we meet with other Christians and guide them by studying the Bible together, reading studies like this one together, spending time together sharing life, asking each other, how are things in your life, giving words of encouragement when they are needed, lovingly correcting sin and wrong attitudes. 3, we work with the church's projects. Your local church is your Christian family. We'll talk more about this in the next chapter, but here we have to mention that the local church is the context that God has chosen to use to promote his message. So as we work together in the church, we can do much more together than if we work by ourselves. Every church has events and projects that it uses to attract people who are far from God and to mature people who have already entered into peace with God. Aside from the meetings and services that every church has, some also do studies in jail, share with the poor, and do personal Bible studies, among other projects. We work with Jesus when we unite with his family, the church, and together work to put on the meetings and services, to invite our friends to these events, and collaborate with the other projects of the church. Jesus' followers dedicate their lives to this work. The reality is that most of the people who live around us are on a path to spend their eternity far from God in torment and punishment. God asks his children to work together with him to bring salvation to those people. That is why, in his word, God repeatedly encourages his children to dedicate their lives to help others know God. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. More and more. In this passage, we discover the idea that God's child should be seeking to work more and more with God. This doesn't mean helping with something at church or inviting someone to church and then saying, now I have met my duty of working with God. Rather, God wants his followers to always ask the question, how can I work with God more? Persistently. Many times when we invite someone, or we serve another, or we try to study with a person in our lives, we don't see in the moment the results of our work. It appears that they aren't any closer to God. When we work and don't see results, we can feel like it isn't working. We can feel discouraged. God wants his children to work with him, and he takes responsibility for the results of our work. So we should work persistently. We invite, study, offer friendship, and organize meetings and services. And God is the one who produces the results from our work. Working with Jesus. The most encouraging part of this work is the phrase, your labor in the Lord. What it is saying is that when we work to bring people in our life closer to God, we are literally working with Jesus. It isn't something that we do by ourselves. Rather, it is a work that he is doing, and he invites us to participate in this mission with him. Not in vain. Since we are working with Jesus, it also says that our work isn't in vain. This is true even when we don't see the results. Every time you set up chairs at church, invite a friend to church, study with a relative, give food to a neighbor, or pray for someone at work, you are working with Jesus and helping them to take steps towards God. This work is never in vain. What is your next step? What is the next step you can take to work more with Jesus? How can you work more in your church? What are some of your church's projects? What are some of the different meetings or services at your church? How can you work more in your church? If you don't know where to start, the best way to take the first step is to ask the leaders, how can I help? Who are the people in your life who are far from God? Who are the people in your family, school, work, sports team, and group of friends that in this moment don't have peace with God? How can you help them to know Jesus? Here are some ideas. Invite them to go to church with you. Ask them if they want to study I Want Peace with God with you. spend time together this week with one of these people, get coffee together, visit them, or help them at work. Pray every day for one of these people. Who are the Christians that God has put in your life that you could help to mature? Who are the people that have already made their decision to enter into peace with God that are around you? There are probably one or two people that you could help to grow and mature in their faith. How can you help these people to develop their faith and their relationship with God? Here are some ideas. Study every week for a month with one of them. You could use a study like this, or just read a book of the Bible together. Invite them to your house to eat. Spend time with that person. More like Jesus. Remember, the goal of the life of God's child isn't just to work. The goal is to become more like Jesus. Jesus dedicated his life to the work of his Father, God. When we dedicate our lives to doing the work of God here on earth, we become more like Jesus.